It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as my returning guest, Bob Gilpatrick, who is the co-owner of Boomers Forever Young in St. Petersburg, Florida. And this is a holistic company that started in 2010. Bob does podcasts and health seminars on a variety of topics, such as managing stress and anxiety, the revolution against death and aging, which I think would be very cool to do, boosting the energy of your mind, body, and spirit. Those are future topics. But we've already done shows together on holistic nutrition, understanding diabetes, and the molecules and love and desire were the last show that we did. So on today's show, we're going to be discussing the autoimmune disorders, and that is a growing diagnosis in the medical field. And Bob just told me before we started the recording that there's actually 160 different autoimmune disorders, and my sources had originally said 80, so it's twice as much. So welcome back, Bob. Please let our listeners know how they can reach you if they want to schedule you for a future podcast like I'm doing, or maybe having you speak live at a function in the Pinellas County area or Orlando.
Sure. Thanks for having me back on, Lucy. And to reach us, people can call to our office in St. Petersburg. The number is 727-443-2500.
Okay, well, I am sure that there are a lot of people who would enjoy having you be a guest speaker. I know I learn so much every time I'm with you. So, and they can always talk to you about golf, too.
There you go.
That's a topic we often talk about. So understanding immune disorders, I guess one of the first things people need to maybe look at is I don't think very many people understand what an autoimmune disorder even is. So maybe you want to address that.
Sure. Well, autoimmune diseases are a situation where our own immune system, which when it's functioning properly, is supposed to be watching for pathogens that are coming in and identifying them and then killing them off so that we stay healthy and alive. Mm-hmm. And an autoimmune disease is when our own immune system makes a mistake and misidentifies a part of our body as a pathogen and mounts an attack against it, which is not good because sometimes it's attacking parts of our body that are so crucial and vital that it can actually lead to death.
And can this happen at any age?
Yes, it can happen at any age, but there's various reasons why it happens that we'll get into in a few minutes. And typically, certain things will happen at a younger age and certain things at an older age.
So if somebody thought they might have an autoimmune disorder, how would they know? I mean, what would be maybe some of the symptoms that would give them a wake-up call as to say, oh, this isn't normal?
Yes, so some of the symptoms are things like joint pain. If people are beginning to get rheumatoid arthritis, certainly they're going to have pain in their joints. Another thing that's kind of common is people will develop an intolerance to either heat or cold that you didn't have prior that starts to come on. Also rashes and hives, things like that. But then also issues with your brain. So a lack of concentration, maybe your memory is starting to go, can be a sign of an autoimmune disease. Excessive tiredness also, if you start to get unexplained hair loss, if you get blood in your stool or blood in your urine, if you all of a sudden start to get dry eyes, or another common one is numbness in your hands and your feet.
And so, some of those are immediately to me going to sound like the diabetic condition, you know, like neuropathy with numbness and tingling in hands and feet. But if they were tested for diabetes, for instance, and that came up a negative, then the doctor might go over to, well, maybe it's an autoimmune disorder.
They may, but also in some circumstances, diabetes itself is an autoimmune disorder.
What circumstances would that be?
So when when people have type 1 diabetes, which means that their pancreas has stopped producing insulin mm-hmm. or has gotten very, very bad at producing insulin, mm-hmm. Sometimes that's because the beta cells in your pancreas have been attacked by your own immune system and destroyed the beta cells, which are making the insulin. So a lot of times when people get type 1 diabetes when they're a child, that's the reason that they got it. They had an autoimmune attack of their beta cells, but it could also have been caused by a virus mm-hmm. or an infection. But that's generally what happens when people get diabetes at a young age.
Now, I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that are listening. When you talked about memory, you know, I'm always thinking either Alzheimer's or dementia. But if it's an autoimmune disorder, then that might be more treatable than somebody that actually has the stamp of this is Alzheimer's, you know, placed on them.
It might be. Alzheimer's, you know, recently there's been some evidence that the Pfizer Corporation, which had an anti-inflammatory drug mm-hmm. they were using, that they discovered that there was about a 65% less chance of getting Alzheimer's disease when people were taking this drug.
Really?
And they didn't seek to renew this drug as an Alzheimer's treatment or really even tell anybody about it. Mm-hmm. But the word has gotten out that if you reduce inflammation, you can reduce Alzheimer's disease. And that makes a lot of sense. We know that CTE, for example, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, mm-hmm. is precipitated by inflammation, as are about 95% of all diseases. So it can be nowadays, knowing that we can treat inflammation to treat Alzheimer's disease makes it a little bit easier.
Well, I know, you know, because I use the products that Boomers has, and I know two of the key products for reducing inflammation that you carry are the barley and also a product that is called muscadine resveratrol mm-hmm. with quercetin, which is a mouthful, mm-hmm. but that is a really good anti-inflammatory. So if somebody were using those two products, might they be able to see a reduction in their symptoms?
Yes, not only that, but our Boomer Boost product, which has 70 different nutrients in it, mm-hmm. also is very helpful for autoimmune diseases.
Okay.
So we have actually had a gentleman that came here that had Parkinson's disease, and he had lost the ability to use his.
Okay.
So we only used Boomer Boost. And he came to see us one day to say how happy and surprised he was to discover the other day that he had gone to open a door with his key and he was using his left hand.
And he didn't even realize he was using
it? And it just kind of shocked him, like, oh my God, I can use my left hand.
Right.
So there is research in regard to the treatment of autoimmune disease with combinations of nutrients. And so, most of which are in the right ratio in Boomer Boost already. So I would recommend people use all three of those products if they have an autoimmune disease.
What about, you know, I see this one advertised a lot on television, and I'm sure listeners see it too, but psoriatic arthritis, I believe, is the one mm-hmm. that... who's the golfer that has it? Phil Mickelson. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so somebody like Phil certainly would have access to using better nutrition. But I know he's a spokesperson for this particular, you know, drug company. Mm-hmm. But psoriatic arthritis, being yep. an immune disorder, would respond right. to this too.
Yes, absolutely. And so would, you know, it's a form of rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. And the other diseases that can respond are also multiple sclerosis, which is a very common mm-hmm. one, where the myelin sheath over your nerves gets misidentified and attacked, and people do die eventually from multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. But also Parkinson's disease, we mentioned, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, diseases of the thyroid, Hashimoto's disease mm-hmm. and Graves' disease. Also, and as we had mentioned before, diabetes mm-hmm. as well. So also lupus is an autoimmune disease. And so people just need to know that there is something that you can do about this. And it's not just the nutrition that we'll go into more later, but also you can begin to detoxify your body, which is a really good thing, especially toxins in your intestines, mm-hmm. and also change your diet in that regard. So if people get leaky gut syndrome, it can lead to autoimmune disease.
Why don't you describe that? Because I think a lot of people may have heard that word, leaky gut mm-hmm. syndrome, but they may not understand what it actually is.
Yeah, so when they say gut, they're referring to your large intestine. Mm-hmm. And your large intestine is supposed to be a contained system, mm-hmm. like a pipe for your plumbing, mm-hmm. that the water stays in the pipe until mm-hmm. it goes out of the house, right? Mm-hmm. But if you get a leak in a pipe, now you'll have water in places you don't want it. With your intestines, if you get a leak in your intestines, now you're going to have bacteria in places where you don't want it.
Right.
And bacteria will actually leak out of your large intestine into the abdominal fluid and can then cause a whole host of problems, including autoimmune disease.
Okay, so how do you, I'm going to be asking like I'm a listener. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about getting, you know, like a little hole, for instance, in that large intestine? Because I know food goes, you know, from the esophagus into the stomach and the stomach into the small intestine and then the small into the large to be eliminated. So how do you get a hole in there?
Right. So it's usually more than one hole. It's lots of little holes. Mm-hmm. And it's primarily caused by people eating foods with too much lectins. So lectins are little tiny proteins that can literally drill holes in your large intestine. Mm-hmm. And so lectins are in raw tomatoes.
Okay. The seeds in particular, right?
The seeds and the skin in mm-hmm. particular.
Okay.
And then also eggplant and certain nuts like cashews and peanuts have a lot of lectins, and also legumes. So you never want to eat too many raw tomatoes, for example. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes that are in the form of tomato sauce are actually
fine.
Okay, because they've skinned them, they've taken the seeds out, and they've actually cooked it. And mm-hmm. so there's very few lectins left.
So chili lovers are okay.
Yeah, cooked tomatoes with tomatoes that have been skinned and like that are fine. But also don't eat too many cashews and peanuts. Mm-hmm. That's the main cause of getting leaky gut, but also bad bacterial overgrowth can also cause leaky gut. So if people have a balance of bacteria in their large intestine, mm-hmm. also in your small intestine and your stomach and your mouth and on your skin, your body's has this balance of bacteria. And certain bacteria people would call bad bacteria, but in a sense, they actually are interacting with other bacteria. They're acting as food or signaling devices in that case. But there are certain bacteria where if you get too many of them, can cause all kinds of problems, including a leaky gut. And those same bad bacteria will leak out of your gut and infect other parts of your body that are not supposed to be exposed to those bacteria.
So what would some symptoms be for an individual who has leaky gut?
Well, a very common one is starting to get allergies, food allergies that you haven't
really
had before, right?
Okay.
And then also liver disease. So leaky gut is a major cause of non-alcoholic cirrhosis, which means an inflammation of the liver that's not caused by drinking too much alcohol.
Right. Is that different than fatty liver disease?
It is different than fatty liver. Fatty liver is where you have too much fat that's trapped in your liver, primarily from not having enough choline, or in particular phosphatidylcholine. And so that is creating an entrapment of the fat. But a leaky gut that sends bacteria into your liver causes inflammation from an actual bacterial infection. But they act the same way and create the same kinds of problems, because your liver has about 300 different processes that it needs to participate in, including detoxification. And so people tend to get very sick that have any kind of liver disease. So you have to, that's what we have to watch out for in regard to that particular cause of autoimmune disease,
right,
being leaky gut. So one of the other things that people can do to work on their leaky gut, in addition to eliminating the foods that can cause it, is by using good bacteria, taking in more good bacteria by mouth,
mm-hmm,
through ingestible probiotics,
mm-hmm,
you can help your leaky gut. And in more severe cases, people get fecal transplants. So they go through a procedure where they drain out their large intestine, like as if you were going for a colonoscopy.
A colonoscopy, right.
And, yep, and then they have a donor who has donated their feces, which has a good balance of bacteria, and they liquefy it and inject it up into you, and it, then they drain it out after about 2 hours,
mm-hmm,
and you now have a mostly new microbiome. And quite often when people that have autoimmune diseases, if they go and get these fecal transplants, their autoimmune disease is resolved. It goes away. So Parkinson's disease in particular is one that responds very well to fecal transplants.
That's pretty amazing, because most people in the past, if they were diagnosed with Parkinson's, and I had a cousin who had it that died not too long ago, but they, you know, there's usually no cure. And so that's interesting that they're now using. Is it covered by insurance? If anybody has Parkinson's that's listening, if they, you know, were to talk to their doctor about a fecal transplant, is it covered? Would they be, or would they have to, you know, go?
I really couldn't tell you that. Mm-hmm. It's probably dependent on the insurance company. It's, mm-hmm, you know, it's not really a procedure that was designed for that. It was accidentally discovered. Because you would have people with Parkinson's disease that also had intestinal infections, you know, something like C. diff, that required a fecal transplant to save their lives, and they discovered that also their Parkinson's went away.
Now, how long have they been actually doing something like, you know, this procedure? I'm not that familiar with it, so.
Well, fecal transplants have been done for a long time, particularly for children with spina bifida. They tend to get really bad intestinal infections, and so they've been doing these for decades for those children. But it's just been recently that they discovered that it helps with things other than the infection. Mm-hmm. So the other thing they'd noticed was that people with depression were getting better.
Really?
And a lot of that is related to the microbiome in your gut that is helping create metabolites, which are the precursors to your neurotransmitters. So if you have the wrong balance of bacteria in your colon, you're going to have a hard time producing neurotransmitters in the right ratios in order for you to feel good. So there's actually scientific articles about curing depression with fecal transplants.
With fecal transplants. So if somebody wanted to read up on it, they could actually Google that information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Boomers has probiotics, and I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the term probiotic, but I know Boomers probiotics have a prebiotic in it with metabolites. And so your product differs substantially than the average probiotic that's out on the market. And it's not the same as buying yogurt and eating yogurt.
Right. So most probiotics are simply bacterial colonies. They talk about colony-forming units, or CFUs. And they just give people those in a pill form, usually, maybe in a powder. And you take it by mouth, and you get more good bacteria in your whole of your alimentary canal. But some people have a diet where it's such that that doesn't do much good, because they have a very hard time taking in fiber. And when they do eat foods that have a lot of fiber or take fiber powders, they feel really sick. And the reason that's important is that bacteria in your large intestine is fermenting fiber that you have taken in through your diet, and that in that process creates metabolites. And these metabolites are things like tryptophan, right, that that is the precursor to serotonin. So if you're a person like a gentleman that came to visit the other day, he can only eat meat. When he eats anything but meat, he feels sick.
Wow.
So we went through a whole long talk with him and helped him to, you know, get started with a new protocol, knowing that he's probably not going to be able to take in fiber. And guess what? He has depression, right? And so by giving him our probiotics, it gave him the metabolites, because the way our probiotics are made is we take our sprouted barley seeds, put them in a very large vat, add a mineral water to it, and then add the good bacteria and the good yeast, which your large intestine also needs certain types of yeast. Those get added to this combination of water and sprouted seeds, and then it gets stirred up about every week. It gets a mixing, and for 90 days, a fermentation process occurs. And when it's done, it gets dried out with this little cyclonic generator that's in the bottom of the vat that takes all the moisture out and also adds a large amount of electrons from this little cyclone that stabilizes the nutrients. And then when they're dry enough, they get ground up in a stone grinding wheel, and it comes in a powder form that gets sent to us. And so you have done for you metabolites. So for people that aren't going to ever get enough fiber in, this is really their only alternative to having the metabolites their body needs for the metabolic pathways.
You don't know whether his depression has lessened because he hasn't been on it long enough?
No, he actually hasn't started yet.
Oh, he
just came yesterday.
Yet. Okay.
And he hasn't started yet.
Okay. That will be interesting to see, because so many times, I mean, as a psychotherapist for many years, so many times people with depression, it was absolutely related to their diet. And yet putting those two together and helping them see that was a difficult process. People get hooked into whatever they're eating or drinking, and they don't want to give that up.
Right. Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Hmm.
There's actually books written about different types of depression, which are related to which types of foods you have too much of or not enough of. Depression is a balance between the right combination of serotonin and dopamine and norepinephrine, and different foods elevate different ones. So there's actually books you can read on how to balance your diet specifically for your type of depression.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're familiar with the Deepak Chopra Center.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in California. But I love the fact that when you go there, and it's expensive, you can't just go on a shoestring, so to speak. But when you do go, they take you from top to bottom, looking at your diet, looking at your lifestyle, looking at, you know, what it's Ayurvedic medicine, but it's looking at your body type and what you need based on your body type. So anybody who wants a healthy vacation, they might want to go look at Deepak Chopra's health center. I think it's just called a health spa that he has, but they'll find it if they go online and Google it.
Cool.
So
great.
All right. Let's go. So yeah, that's on my bucket list. I definitely want to go do that. So tell me a little bit more about maybe diets that people need to be looking at in order to, you know, once you have an autoimmune diagnosis, what can you begin to do to maybe rectify things a little bit, besides using Boomer products, but also other things that they might be able to do?
Right. So the first thing that you want to do is eliminate the
lectins, okay,
right, that we already talked about.
Right.
And then you want to make sure that you're digesting your food properly, right? So whatever diet you're going to follow, some people eat more carbohydrates, some eat more fats, some eat more proteins. You need to have a reasonable balance of that, where you want to eat mostly good fats and then have a balance of protein and carbohydrate without too much protein.
Let me ask you a question, you know, that kind of goes along with this, but I think a lot of people are familiar with the Mediterranean diet, because that is probably one that people can live with for a lifetime. It's it's nothing like the keto. The keto is a good diet. This intermittent fasting is big right now. But the Mediterranean is a lot of good fats. But it seems to be a little more balanced. Or do you think that might be a problem for somebody that's on that has an autoimmune disorder?
No, it probably is not going to be a problem, and it is fairly well balanced, and it's very close to a keto diet. Mm-hmm. So that would be perfectly fine, a diet to follow. But you also want to make sure that that food is getting digested. Mm-hmm. So that's usually where the problem comes in. And people need to pay very close attention to their mouth and their stomach, their small intestine, their large mm-hmm. intestine, because that's all involved in digestion. Mm-hmm. So people need to make sure they don't have bacterial infections in their gums. And you need to use coconut oil to do oil pulling. Each day in the morning, it's good to put about a teaspoon of coconut oil in your mouth and swish it around for 5 or 10 minutes in your mouth. The bacteria that's in your gums will cling to it, and then you can spit it out and rinse your mouth really well.
That is so fascinating to think that it actually clings to it, because yeah. a lot of people have gum disease, and, mm-hmm. and that is probably the main reason that they have gum disease. Is not just, I mean, these are people that don't go to the dentist all the time either, but if they do have gum disease, that would help alleviate that, I would
yes,
think.
Right. And it can tighten up loose teeth and like mm-hmm. that. We also have a product called Hydrolite, which you can follow this oil pulling with mm-hmm. by putting one drop of this liquid on your tongue, and it's highly anti-pathogenic, so it'll kill bacteria in your mouth. And then if you're going to do that, you want to recolonize your mouth with good bacteria. So you can take a pinch of our powdered probiotic and put it into your mouth, let your saliva dissolve it, swish it around really well, and mm-hmm. then swallow it.
So, okay, so just to kind of, I guess, break that down a little bit. So somebody that's been diagnosed with autoimmune disorder, then those individuals would want to maybe have this mouth routine that would help them with digestion, because digestion is going to be a key right. as to whether or not they can get on top of their autoimmune disorder.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. And so after the mouth is going to be your stomach, and some people have trouble digesting food in their stomach. So mm-hmm. by taking the right type of digestive enzymes, mm-hmm. you'll be able to add in, especially as people get older, mm-hmm. you can add back in the enzymes that will help you digest your food. And you also want to be sure that you have the additional pancreatic enzymes that will alkalize your food as it gets ready to drop into your small intestine. That's mm-hmm. really important, because if you have a pancreatic enzyme deficiency, mm-hmm. and it happens as you get older, or if you're under a lot of stress, mm-hmm. then you end up with too acidic of a chyme, which is the liquid in your stomach, dripping into your small intestine. It's going to burn your small intestine. It's going to damage the villi, which are the little hairs that absorb the nutrients, and quite often create a regurgitation back up.
Is that like reflux disease?
It's like a reflux, yeah. yes. And your small intestine does not want highly acidic no. chyme arriving no. there. Right. And so having the right digestive enzyme that has those additional pancreatic enzymes is really important, especially for someone with autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. And then in regard to your small intestine, this is where further digestion occurs. So you want your gallbladder to be very healthy. Your gallbladder is going to be adding liquid into your small intestine to further help with digestion, including fats. So you want to make sure you don't have a lot of gallstones. Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole protocol using apple cider and olive oil and the like to go through a 10-day or 2-week protocol that will extract any stones out of your gallbladder and give it a chance to function really well, mm-hmm. right? And then you also need to be sure that as you age, that you have the right detoxifying agents in your nutritional supplements, so that the plaque that tends to form in your small intestine and smother over the little hairs that absorb the nutrients, that you have something that's constantly extracting that plaque out. And superoxide dismutase works really well for doing that.
That's the barley.
And that's in our sprouted barley seeds. Mm-hmm. And so this will help you to cleanse your small intestine, regrow those little villi, and then this well-digested food that you just went to the trouble to digest by chewing your food really well in your mouth and having done your oil pulling, et cetera, and then adding in your digestive enzymes to your stomach, now you have very well-digested food arriving in your small intestine. It gets further digested by more pancreatic enzymes and excretion from your gallbladder, and then it gets ready for absorption, and it's absorbed by those little villi. So now you can absorb your nutrients, and you have a really good chance of being healthy and being able to provide the right substrates and nutrients that ultimately have a positive effect on your thymus, which is the gland in the middle of your chest that's responsible for encoding your immune system. And so if your thymus is under stress because it doesn't have the right nutrients or hormones, or it's, or your body is involved in a very high vibrational stress response, your thymus gets very freaked out and tends to make mistakes.
Right. And that's when it's going to attack your body in different places.
It's going to misidentify something that's supposed to be friendly as unfriendly.
Okay, so one of the things I'm going to bring up and let you address a little bit here, too. Yeah, you and I have talked about the fact that we have chakras throughout our body, and we have adrenal glands in every one of those chakras, and of course the thymus is one of those adrenal glands. And where it sits is just below the throat chakra and just right at the heart chakra. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is, you know, like super stressed in relationship issues, it may be husband and wife, it might be business partners, it might be parent-child, but any kind of relationship that might involve the heart, then could that kind of situation then cause an autoimmune disorder just because the thymus isn't working properly?
Well, yes, it can. So stress of any kind, whether it's relationships or otherwise, a stressful job of an air traffic controller, that type of thing. Okay, any type of stress where ultimately your body is secreting too much cortisol and bursts of adrenaline, that type of thing, is going to have a negative effect on your thymus. So the way
you've got the thymus and the adrenal glands under attack there.
Yes, right, right, and your adrenals provide DHEA, and your thymus needs DHEA in order to function properly. Mm-hmm. And if you're under stress, your adrenals get exhausted and don't have enough DHEA to give to the thymus. But ultimately, the way that it occurs is when people perceive something to be stressful, like what's going on in their relationship, they've decided in their brain that this is not good and everything is not okay, right? That thought process actually communicates to your heart muscle and changes the way that your heart is beating. And your heart sends a signal, the 40,000 neurons in your heart muscle send a collective signal to your amygdala. And your amygdala is kind of sitting in the middle of your brain deciding when things are okay and when they're not okay. Mm-hmm. And it then sends a message to your frontal cortex. So it becomes a feedback loop.
Right? Oh, boy. Okay.
And so,
and even if it's inaccurate, the information is inaccurate, if you believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So they say that the average person is of the belief that everything is okay about 5% of the time.
And they think 95% of the time it's not.
95% of the time there's something wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
And I need to be secreting excess cortisol.
Wow.
So, and this leads to autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. So what happens is if you have this feedback loop between the frontal cortex, the amygdala, and the heart going on, and things are not okay, then your body secretes cortisol. And in order for that to happen, there's another feedback loop. It's called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, and they begin communicating with each other to stimulate the adrenals.
You know what that reminds me of? Because we just celebrated D-Day. Mm. But I mean, all of these people that are in the service are constantly feeling like they're under attack, because they are. If they're in Afghanistan or Iraq or, you know, back in World War II. So in reality, if it's 95% of the time that we're giving ourselves these negative messages, no wonder there's been this huge increase in autoimmune disorders.
That's true. That's true. And so there is something you can do about it. There's a few things you can do about
it. Well, inner balance is one.
Right. Your inner balance device, which mm-hmm. is helping to monitor what's going on with your amygdala, frontal cortex, and heart muscle pathway, mm-hmm. and allows you the opportunity to alter it so that you can slowly move that 5% of the time when things are okay up to 10%, then 20 and 50. And if you use it diligently, keeping increasing the degree of difficulty for the exercises mm-hmm. and keep moving up, you'll get to the point where you're happy almost all the time and you can stop this common response. Good.
And maybe the Dalai Lama does that.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm sure. Well, a lot of it is focusing on what's good and mm-hmm. what you're grateful for. And that's
gratitude.
Part mm-hmm. of the exercise with the HeartMath Inner Balance device mm-hmm. is to focus on gratitude. Because most people's minds are scanning for what's wrong.
Right.
And they look at it and they go, oh, there that is again. Things are not okay. Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's things going on all around them that are okay.
Right.
That they can choose to focus on.
Right. One of the things that I've always found fascinating about myself, and I have a good friend that also does exactly the same thing. And of course, I believe in past lives. So I think probably I was in the military in some past life. And both of us, when we walk into a crowded place, we typically will look for where the exits are. Just in case, you know, mm-hmm. and with everything that's going on in the world today, and he travels extensively overseas. So it's just fascinating to me how, you know, some of these things, if anybody out there believes in past lives, like I do, that you can carry that forward. You know, there's little mm-hmm. pieces of it that you might end up carrying forward. And yet I focus most of the time on what's good in the world, not mm-hmm. on, you know, the calamity that could be out there. Because I refuse to listen to the news a good deal of the time. Mm-hmm. I will listen to it occasionally, but only occasionally, because I think today the newscast, for the most part, are looking for what's bad. And that's all they're reporting.
Right.
And then that in turn is going to make everybody go through that same vicious cycle of looking for the bad and believing 95% of the time
right.
that it's the worst in the world, not the best.
Exactly right.
Hmm.
That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about in a little bit another thing you can do to work directly with your thymus.
Mm-hmm.
Your thymus is a listening device, and it can also communicate with you. It's like a little miniature brain, and you can give voice to it, and it's very wise and will give you hints and tips about things that you should or should not be doing.
Ooh, we need to know that.
In order for it to be able to perform properly.
Okay?
So we'll go through, there's a technique called craniosacral therapy for the immune system,
mm-hmm.
which is a formal training mm-hmm. that people go through to help clients who are having trouble with their thymus.
Okay.
And so we'll do, like, I'll teach people how to do a guided imagery where they can do the technique for themselves.
Okay.
Okay. It's hard to find a craniosacral therapist for the immune system. There's not that many people.
I would think there would be very few.
So this will be a way to do it for yourself.
Okay. Right?
But in the meantime, also with autoimmune disease, we talked about inflammation
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to tell whether or not inflammation is part of your problem, there's a blood test you can get. It's called C-reactive protein.
Mm-hmm.
It's an enzyme produced by your liver in response to inflammation, so you can tell how much inflammation that you have.
All right. I had one done in February and very mm-hmm. pleasantly surprised, and I'm going to attribute a lot of that to the products that I'm on from here, but mine was a 0.3.
Oh, excellent.
So I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. They say anything below a 0.5 and you're not going to have any trouble from inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So you're well below that. But getting this blood test, as mm-hmm. Lucy did, is very valuable. And then there are certain compounds. We mentioned superoxide dismutase mm-hmm. before. That's probably the holy grail of anti-inflammatory strategies. And glutathione also, and trimethylglycine. and vitamins A, C, and E, and extracts from grapes and the like you were saying before with the resveratrol and quercetin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All those things can help reduce inflammation. That we now have them all together in one place so that you can take a couple of powders in a glass of water and a couple of pills and get the same result that Lucy did by reducing your inflammation. This will not only help prevent autoimmune disease, but it'll help prevent about 95% of all diseases, mm-hmm. including heart disease and stroke and cancer and diabetes, et cetera.
Right. And yep. I think it's just imperative for anybody today to take responsibility for their health, because our diet alone is not going to do it, unfortunately, unless you grow on a farm or you grew up on a farm and you're eating everything that's grown on a farm. For most of us, the grocery store, even if we shop the external part of the store and not the internal part of the store, is still not going to give you everything that you need. So I think, the Boomer products are definitely an answer.
Yeah, it's a big part of it, mm-hmm. because we've made it so easy for people to do.
Yeah, exactly.
That you no longer have to be so worried about the quality of the food, which is very hard to, you have to shop at the farmer's market and eat your food pretty soon.
Right,
because it's deteriorating as soon as it gets picked.
That's very true. So, wow.
The other thing that people really need to pay attention to in regard to autoimmune disease is what's going on with your thyroid, right? Mm. So there's a lot of different aspects with your thyroid. You have, the thyroid stimulating hormone, which gets converted to T4 to T3, and T3 then gets absorbed into your cells that helps with all of your metabolism. And if people begin to get even mild autoimmune disease, your immune system can attack your thyroid, and it can attack the tissue itself or the receptors. And so it can cause either hypo or hyperthyroid. Mm. And one is called Hashimoto's disease, and the other is Graves' disease, where people will get very thin and gaunt and hyper, and the other where people will tend to gain weight, mm-hmm. right? But they're both being caused by an autoimmune attack, right? So if you're going to address it, you want to address it the same way we were talking about before with the lectins and the like, and the proper nutrition, and then also stress management. Mm-hmm. That is a very common, those two diseases are both very, very common. And they are not life-threatening in and of themselves right away, the way that Parkinson's disease and MS can be. But all of them are being caused primarily by the same set of circumstances, except in the case of genetic disorders. And if that's the case, if you have a particular gene that predisposes you to autoimmune disease, this is the case where that gene tends to get expressed later in life based on things that are going on with your body as you age. So in this case, if that gene shows up, if you go and get a genetic test for predicting diseases, mm-hmm. if that gene or any gene shows up that says you're likely later in life to get this, mm-hmm. you want to be very diligent about keeping your body very young. So you want to convince your epigenome that you are extremely young by using the right anti-inflammatories, following the correct diet, not eating too many lectins, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your biomarkers of your body will show that you're much younger, and it will delay the genetic onset, the adult onset genetic disease. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you can de-age yourself back far enough where the genetic expression will revert to how it was before. Mm-hmm. So very, very important to remember. But now what I was going to do, Lucy, is talk to you about this guided imagery people can do talk to their thymus. All right. So
this is self-talk 101.
Yeah. So this is the process that a craniosacral therapist that's trained for helping the immune system, this is the process that they would follow, minus some of the body work that they would do. So the therapist normally would first want to put you into a still point, which is a state where your the pulse of your cerebral spinal fluid will come to rest. So your cerebral spinal fluid, which is in your brain and down your spine, actually fills and drains and fills and drains. It has this rhythmic pulse to it.
Okay.
And you can actually feel it in your head. If you can ignore the heartbeat, you can actually feel someone's brain or skull expanding and contracting
so
slightly.
Is your head in their hands when you're feeling this? Okay.
Right. Okay. And you would put it alongside their temples.
Okay.
But in the absence of a person who knows how to put you into a still point, you can do it yourself with two tennis balls and a sock.
Okay.
So what you do is you get a sock and two tennis balls, put the tennis balls in the sock and tie a knot in the end.
Okay.
And when you lie down, you want to put those two tennis balls underneath your neck. So you want to lie on your back, put the tennis balls underneath your neck, and it's going to put pressure on a particular part of the back of your neck that's going to induce this still point.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the still point is a highly therapeutic state, right? And Dr. Upledger, who created this therapy, his first book was called Your Inner Physician and You, and he contended that when you were in this still point, your body was able to go into a deep healing mode.
That's right? Awesome. Okay.
So this is a good place to start. The other thing that you want to do is a technique that is called the ultimate mind calming exercise. And you want to do this just before you lie down on the tennis balls.
Okay.
And this is also called head circles. People can see it on our website. It's there's a video on the video tab called the ultimate mind calming exercise. It involves moving your head in a very specific way in a circle, letting your head drift from side to side at the end of the circle while you breathe in a certain way. And what it does is it gets you out of your head and into your heart. Right?
So that's very much like the inner balance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is quieting your mind and allowing you to get into your heart, which your thymus is right next to your heart.
Right. Okay. So heart coherence works here.
Yes. So now you've begun to change your attention from your head to your heart. And it also helps to do a little bit of lymph drainage, which you can also learn on our website. And in this case, you'd only need to do it for about a minute, where you'd massage your clavicle lymph nodes just a little bit in order to get in touch with your immune system, right? This is craniosacral for the immune system. Your lymph is part of your immune system. And so now this is the preparation part. You want to also have your room dimly lit, maybe with candlelight, so it creates a very quiet atmosphere, because your intention is to create an atmosphere where you can get in touch with your thymus and have a dialogue and a healing session.
Okay.
So this is the preparation. So the next thing that you want to do is put your hand over the center of your chest, and you're touching your thymus, and you're going to do a gratitude session with your thymus. And it can be simple enough to say, I'm going to thank you very much for keeping me alive all these years. Because without your thymus watching for pathogens, you wouldn't live for very long at all.
No, you wouldn't. Right.
And so you're thanking it for all of its hard work and keeping it alive. And you're setting this compassionate mood where you're almost treating it like a little two-year-old child that needs to be held by mommy.
Okay. All right.
And the other thing that you're going to do is to whatever technique that you use to get in touch with your higher self, some people will consciously float out of their body for a moment and look back down at the scene and watch for a minute while they repeat the same expression of gratitude. And so you're watching yourself doing this, and then come back, reassociate in your body so that you're bringing your transcendent self into your physical body, and now they both become one, and this creates a much more therapeutic environment. Okay, so after that, you want to identify to your thymus that you understand that there's been some stressors that are have led it to not being able to perform in the optimal fashion that it would like to. And you, if you know yourself what the stressors already are, you can say, for example, the arguments I've been having with my spouse, for example, allowing myself to get stressed out in traffic and at work, et cetera, et cetera. And you can, as you list these things, you can then ask your thymus, which of these events that I'm perceiving to be stressors do you think I should work on first?
And then listen.
And then listen.
Okay.
Okay. Now, usually in all the cases where I've done this therapy for people, at that point, because it's a communication with the therapist also, the person begins to speak and they'll actually talk it out loud. And we don't know if that's really the thymus speaking or the person's unconscious mind or where the information's coming from. It doesn't really matter, and you'll see why as we get to the end part of this. But you will hear something or see something or get a sense or a feeling about something. Okay. And then what you want to do is you want to, after you've done this listening, you want to then query your thymus as what to do. Right. So in regard to this stressful situation with my relationship, what is it that you would like me to always do? Okay. Now the answer might be something as simple as once an argument starts, walk away, take a minute to deep breathe before you come back in, whatever the answer becomes. And quite honestly, you already knew the answer beforehand, but you're not doing it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so, and then you also want to ask your thymus, what should I never do? Okay. Now, your thymus may also, your thymus may also say, oh, by the way, in addition to the things that you listed out, there's a few other things I want to tell you also, right? And it might be very surprising, like might say, you have a gluten allergy.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And so because your body mind knows this,
right?
Right. But when you get yourself into this state of your higher self being integrated and you're in a calm state and you're in your heart, you're going to hear things and know things from your body mind that you may not have known before.
You know, what I'm thinking to myself is that the number of people that could be so much healthier in every aspect of their life if they learn to listen to themselves.
Yes.
You know, listen to their body, listen to what their soul is saying to them, instead of all the mindless chatter that we typically listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then do something.
And then do something about it.
And so as your thymus is speaking to you, okay, you want to repeat back, so that your thymus gets the sense that you actually heard correctly. And it also gives your thymus a chance to add things or change things.
Okay.
So you would say, thank you very much, thymus. I just want to make sure I have this straight. Regarding this relationship issue, this exactly is what I should always do. And the reason you want it verbatim and not paraphrasing is your thymus will say, no, that's not what I said.
Okay. Right?
So don't paraphrase, because when people are paraphrasing, that means they're putting the information through their own filters and spitting it back out, usually in a distorted form.
Exactly.
Right? Or a generalized form.
Right.
And that's not what was said.
Right.
Okay. And so repeat
it
back.
They put their own spin on it.
Exactly. So repeat it back how it was said, and then say, and in regard to what I should never do, this is what you said. Right. And so then you want to, at each stage, affirm to your thymus that you pronounce that this is what you're going to do in the future. This is my promise. I promise I'll never do this, and I promise I'll always do this. And then you go on to the next issue, because people are going to have stress in their lives for much more than just one issue.
Absolutely.
And you want to keep on going, all right? So a case where I did one particular therapy, there was a 15-year-old child whose issue from stress was violent video games and had created a problem with his thymus where he developed this severe allergy to dairy products and to bug bites. And so when we did the therapy, we went through and his thymus started speaking very loudly through this child. Mm-hmm. And we made the deal that what he was going to do is stop with the violent video games. And instead, he was going to get back onto his life path, which was one of being an actor, a dancer, and a singer. And we made the deal with his thymus. If we actually do these things, stop the video games and go mm-hmm. and enroll back in the classes, mm-hmm. will you stop with
attacking
the allergy?
Him. Yeah, right.
And the thymus said, yes, but I'm not doing it until we see if you really do this.
Right.
And so actually, with the help of his grandma, he went and signed up for the classes. They unplugged the computer, stopped. And the next day, I told them, take the tip of a pin, put it into some diluted milk, and touch it to the tip of his tongue and see what happens. So nothing happened. So they waited a half hour, put a couple of drops, then they put a full drop, and nothing. By the end of that evening, he was eating ice cream and pizza. And the thymus did its part and stopped with the allergy stuff.
Isn't yeah. that remarkable?
Right. He went on. Wow. He went on to become a famous dancer and is now a dancer in a ballet dancer in St. Petersburg, Russia, for one of the top ballet troupes in the world.
Is that Nureyev?
I don't know the name of the ballet that he dances for, but I know it's in St. Petersburg.
Wow.
He lives right across the street from the Hermitage Museum.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So that is totally fascinating. So you can make an agreement, basically,
yes.
with any part of your body, but in particular, something like the thymus, to say, I will do this, and you will do this.
Exactly.
And it worked.
Right. So, yes. And you want to do that at the end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You want to promise what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And live up to your promise.
And live up to your promise. So it needs to be a solemn pronouncement,
mm-hmm.
right? Not just, okay, I'm going to do it. This needs to be something that comes from your soul. I solemnly pronounce that this is what I'm going to do mm-hmm. going forward, okay? And that a change of heart and changing my mind about it the first time things get a little tough, that's not on the table. This is not going to be a case where I'm changing my mind. This is solemn. This is forever, okay? Because that's the only kind of pronouncement that's going to get your thymus's attention
mm-hmm.
because it's already heard you talk about what mm-hmm. you're going to do about these stressful situations mm-hmm. in the past.
And
that,
you didn't do
that
it.
You never did.
Right.
So that's what it's used to.
Right.
So it needs to be something more solemn.
Wow. That is just really
yeah.
fascinating.
And then the last part of it is to give yourself a gift of light, right? So mm-hmm. Allow yourself to imagine the light coming down from above and mm-hmm. bathing your entire body. And then imagine that that light comes together and congeals into a ball about the size of a softball
mm-hmm.
and hovers and surrounds completely your thymus in the middle of your chest.
So is that like a healing for the thymus at that point?
Yeah, it's a healing light mm-hmm. for the thymus.
Any particular color? Because I would be thinking probably pink because that's the healing center.
I always use white with a little bit of a yellow tinge, almost like being bathed in sunlight.
Sunlight, okay.
Yeah, right. But you can use whatever color you want.
Okay.
It's the thought that counts mm-hmm. that you're bringing this beautiful healing using your conscious mind. Mm-hmm. And this is another signal to your thymus, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you've already thanked it. You've made a solemn commitment. And now you're bringing in a healing light.
Right.
Now, your thymus is very childlike.
Mm-hmm.
And it loves to be held and hugged and bathed in light.
Right. Okay? And as a child, if you make a promise, you don't want to break it.
Yeah. Right.
Hmm.
So then as that happens, let the light disperse again mm-hmm. all throughout your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you want to, you can then imagine your heart chakra
mm-hmm.
Feeling very, very happy,
mm-hmm.
spinning exactly correctly and having its own beautiful colors and celebrating this this exchange that just occurred between the different parts of your beingness, right? So remember, this is all you. This isn't some other thing, this thymus.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually you.
All right. in the last few minutes that we do have, I guess I wanted to sort of clarify something in regard to this cranial sacral for the immune system.
Yeah.
I know you said there aren't very many people that do it. Do you still do it?
I don't do it for people myself. It requires, you know, having a place, a
to go do it at
room and stuff. So what I tend to do is let people know they can do this. So the best thing for people to do is to listen to this show and just lie down and put this part on and listen to the conversation.
Okay.
And let this be the guide for you to do it.
I think that's amazing because, you know, what better way if you're going to change your diet, change your stress outlook on life, and then to acknowledge that we have these glands like our adrenals and our thymus that basically are controlling whether we stay healthy or not by virtue of what we do or we don't do. And if you can be your own doctor in this case with two tennis balls and a sock, that's amazing. So, you know, do a healing on yourself and allow your body to begin to get better.
Right, right. This is just a more advanced version of helping yourself from getting a tension headache, right? So if you've got a lot of tension in your shoulders and your back because you've been hunched over your computer all day worrying about a project for school or work, and you have a headache, it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to stand up. You're going to stretch, right? You might maybe do a little V spread on, you know, where your arteries go up into the back of your neck and go outside, walk around, get some fresh air.
Take a couple of big breaths.
Your headache's going to improve, right? So this is like that, but with more knowledge about how the thymus works and how to communicate with it properly.
Okay. Well, I can see that our hour is already gone, and the time with you just flies. I really appreciate you being on the show. I'm not exactly sure what you'd like to do next, but I know we'll have another show that we'll record in probably a few weeks. And I typically put Bob on once a month on the Synergy Connection show. So if anyone missed the show today, if they go to my website, and just go to synergyconnectionradio.com. The shows are all archived there. And Bob's name is with all of his shows, and they're all an hour long. So I think it's a wonderful education on health, wellness, how to get where you want to be in a simple, not easy, but a simple way that they can control becoming healthier physically, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And that's what the show is really all about. So I totally appreciate you being a guest. Maybe just one more time, tell them where they can reach you if they want to give you a call or if they'd like to ask you to, you know, come and speak.
Yeah. Yes. Call to us in St. Petersburg, Florida. The number is 727-443-2500.
Okay. Thank you again so very much. And we will... I'll be back with you in a week, and Bob will be back with us probably in 3 or 4 weeks. So make this your very best day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Synergy Connection Show. If you wanted to know more about the products Bob spoke about on today's show, please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y. ConnectionRadio.com. Click on the Boomers Vibrate a New banner on the homepage. Use promo code Lucy, that's L-U-C-Y, at checkout to save $5 on your order. Don't forget to tune in next week to the Synergy Connection Show.